Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, our theme music did not come on today. So, hey everybody, welcome to Hollywood Boulevard Podcast. This is Jonathan Moody with me is my co-host with the most, Donnie Sturgis. How are you doing, Donnie?
Hey everybody, doing good. Hey everybody.
All right, and we've got our producer Alfred Crane on here. How are you doing, Alfred?
Doing wonderful. Ready to Disney it tonight.
All right. And we also got a special guest tonight. We've got Cinema Sickness himself, Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
All right. Awesome. Now, we're talking Disney, and I asked Dave to come on the show because he's a huge Disney fanatic, and I'm sure he'll know more information than we will about stuff or whatever and talk. So to begin with, what was the first Disney movie you remember seeing as a kid? I'll go Dave first. Dave, what do you remember seeing when you were a kid?
Wow. It's hard to say. I definitely I see the memories I have most of when it comes to Disney movies are at my grandmother's house. She pretty much had all the Disney VHS clamshells. And I remember going over there and watching quite a few Disney movies. I was a big fan of Alice in Wonderland. I watched that quite a bit.
And you, if I recall correctly, Dumbo is the one that you have the most like copies.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's not my favorite movie, but I do have a ton of different copies of that. It just so happens that it just sort of worked out that way.
Well, what about you, Alfred? What's the first one you remember?
I think I remember, I'm a little bit old school. When I was a kid, they used to rebroadcast them in the theaters. And I think it was Snow White when they re-released that. And
okay.
I just remember the mirror and the dwarfs. And I remember seeing, I think that's it, and seeing like Song of the South and Darby O'Gill and the Little People on the re-releases. It was pretty cool.
All right. Well, what about you, Donnie? What's the first thing you remember?
All right, young whippersnappers, get around the fireplace. Grandpa's going to tell you a tale.
Actually, it's funny, being that I'm in my early 40s, I actually got to see Disney on the big screen, not when they originally aired, or when they originally were shown, but during the, you know, early years when they would re-release them often in theaters. I was probably about 3 years old, which would put it probably about like 1978, 1979-ish. Very first Disney film I ever saw. I don't remember a lot of it. I remember bits and pieces of it, but we were living in Pennsylvania, drive-in theater, a drive-in theater that is now a mall that's dying. It's a small town, so it happens. But anyway, we went to a drive-in theater, and they were doing a double feature. The first film that they were showing was for the kids, and it was Jungle Book. The second feature that they showed was Young Frankenstein. And so my parents took me, and they went with some friends of theirs who had a couple of kids, and we sat on the roof of the car that had because it had a sunroof. So we sat on the roof of the car with our legs dangling into the sunroof, and I watched The Jungle Book, and I loved the hell out of that as a kid. I remember I ended up buying my mom bought me the record album that had all the songs on it. Jungle Book was like my number one. I loved the songs. Baloo was my favorite character. So that was the first Disney movie I ever saw. I remember it very, I wouldn't say vividly, but I remember bits and pieces. I remember enough of it to know that that was the first one I ever saw. And then Young Frankenstein played afterwards. I fell asleep 5 minutes into that film, which, yeah, I know. I feel so bad. Luckily they re-released Young Frankenstein in theaters, last year for their anniversary, and I made up for it. So that was a horrible, horrible thing on my part. Three old me was such a jerk. That I you know, it's just awful. But anyway, make a long story short, too late. Jungle Book.
Okay. I think, I'm trying to remember, like, because probably Bambi was, like, the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And you were cool as a boy watching Bambi, by the way, in school. But I, I remember that. I don't remember what I thought of that, but the one I really remember watching on, like, because I never had Disney Channel growing up, because back then you had a cable,
it was
you had
a pay
to buy
channel.
It separately or whatever.
Yep.
Pay channel. And my parents did not have Disney. So we watched, and so I go over to a friend's house and we watched Disney stuff. And one of the things I remember watching was Mr. Boogity. And that was the one that, like, I absolutely love that movie. And that's the one I know I remember seeing. I think Bambi was the one, I'm pretty sure I saw Bambi when I was a little kid, because, you know, or whatever, that's one I can remember. But I know for sure I watched Mr. Boogity when I was a kid, and that was, like, one of my favorite experiences, you know, doing that. So
sure.
Next question, next topic. All right, so Disney has been through the ages. We're not going to – I had this thing where we're going to talk about all the different stuff, you know, or whatever, like the different periods. Because, like, if you notice, like, Disney has, like, certain – 20 years, each 20 years, like, there's certain kind of movies and stuff, and then after a while, you know, it changes or whatever. So,
sure.
Like, 1950s to 70s, there's a lot of, like, goofy movies, like Absent-Minded Professor and
mm-hmm.
you know, fun movies like that.
Kurt Russell.
And then
Kurt Russell was a
Kurt
big
Russell.
Disney guy. He was
yeah,
in a lot
just
of Disney
got,
films.
Have you guys seen a movie, Dave? I'll ask you this because I know you're
okay.
so big into this stuff.
Yeah.
But have you seen Follow Me, Boys?
Yes, of course. I have the like special collector's tin release of it.
Really?
Yeah.
I just bought it yesterday at Walmart for like $5 because I'm trying to collect all the Disney stuff. So I saw that and I was like, "What is this?" And I had never seen it. Is it any good?
Yeah, it's actually a really good movie. It's definitely something I would recommend checking out.
Okay, all right. Have you guys heard of that one, Follow Me, Boys?
I have not,
What is that one about?
It's got Fred McMurray in it, so that alone.
Figures.
Is that the one where he's a scout leader?
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
I think I recall that one. It's been a long time.
Yeah. It was he was a scout leader who I guess he was a jazz musician or something, and he, you know, whatever. So it was interesting. Kurt Russell, like a young Kurt Russell, is in it. You know, I'm interested to see Vera Miles from freaking Psycho is in it. So, like,
right?
It's just strange thing. Like, you know, I showed it to my mom, and my mom was like pointing out all the other people I've never heard of that have apparently were big hits back then. So awesome. I'm really looking forward to checking that one out. Also, I've recently got Blackbeard's Ghost, which I rewatched.
Nice.
And I love that movie. I got it from like the Disney Movie Club, which I know a lot of you guys, or I guess all of you guys aren't members of that yet or anything, you know?
No,
but I know why you aren't, Dave, because you're thrifty spender.
Like,
so,
I've got to find my deals.
yeah, I got to find your deals. And there's really, I mean, there are deals, but you still have to buy everything at the normal price at first before you can really, like, start getting the discounts and stuff.
I mean, if you're the type of person who pays full price, like, in stores, I mean, then, yeah, you're getting a pretty good deal. But if you're like me and you're trying to find stuff for $5 a piece, you know.
Right. So let's talk about once again, another great topic that I know you're going to be loving, Dave, and we discussed this earlier, Disneyland and Disney World. Basically, Disney is like became so big, basically, they created their own like empire kind of thing. They have theme parks, and then they have movies based on their theme parks, theme park rides and stuff like that, Pirates of the Caribbean, Tower of Terror, Haunted Mansion, all that stuff. What do you guys think of the actual movies based on the, based on the rides? Let's, Dave, you first.
I've enjoyed, for the most part, pretty much every one. I mean, obviously, probably Pirates being the best. Big fan of that entire franchise. Tower of Terror, you know, with Kirsten Dunst. That's a, I mean, it's a goofy movie, but it's fun. And what else was there? Eddie Murphy.
Haunted Mansion.
You know, the movie's not the best, but as a big fan of the parks and the attractions, I mean, the Haunted Mansion is my all-time favorite attraction. So, of course, when I watch the movie, I'm more like trying to point out things like, okay, that they're referencing that, and that's a reference from the movie, and there's another reference from the the attraction. So I have a fun time watching that. Even Tomorrowland,
same thing.
You know, I heard that too, but I haven't heard anything more about it. I heard they were, and then it just kind of went away. So I don't know.
All right. Well, what about you? Alfred. What about you?
I hate to say it, but I've never been to Disney World or Disneyland, so they're deferring my time.
All right. Well, what about you, Donnie?
What was the question again?
Okay, what do you think of the movies based on the attractions on the from Disneyland and Disney World?
Well, I've only really seen Pirates in the Haunted Mansion, and I agree, Haunted Mansion really is not that good. Like, it's, as far as references go, yeah, okay, it's, they really did their homework, but it's not a great film. The Pirate series is interesting because, for the most part, that was a concept that shouldn't even worked. Like, there's no reason at all. There's no rhyme or reason to a movie based on a ride becoming such a huge hit, but they captured lightning in a bottle with that first movie. The second two movies I enjoy a lot. There's a lot of baggage in the second and third film, but it rides the momentum of the first film enough that they're both really enjoyable, but they start to get a little bit too muddled by the time you get to the final one. But as a trilogy, I like them. They're pretty solid. The fourth film in the series, I did not like at all. It was boring to me. I thought that the guy that played Blackbeard, what's his name? He was Ian McShane. He was wasted. I was not a fan of that one, but I just saw the most recent one, the one where it's almost kind of a reboot. Actually, it was definitely better to me. It was a much more solid affair than the previous one. And I guess those are Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Not really a movie. Yeah. Not really a movie based on it, but there is a cartoon. I don't know which came first, the cartoon or the ride. Probably the cartoon.
There is a movie, a live action movie.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. But did the movie come first or did the ride come first?
I don't think. Good question. I don't know.
Because if the movie came first, then it doesn't count for the question.
Because
if the ride came first.
Because the movie's not really based on the. I think it's just a title only kind of reference. Because I believe it's based just on the Wind in the Willows, isn't it?
And yeah. No, that's true. That's true. No, you're right. That's right. Yeah, those are really the only two that I've seen. Then is really the Haunted Mansion and the Pirates series, and the Pirates movies I enjoyed to varying degrees, and the Haunted Mansion I just didn't like at all. And that's unfortunate because the Haunted Mansion is probably my favorite attraction as well. Which, I think the Haunted Mansion is most people's favorite attraction. I think it's like the top. Not everybody, but most people will pick that one if you ask them what their favorite one is. So, I think that's pretty much all I've got for an answer for that one.
All right. Well, for me, I guess Pirates is my favorite. And I feel so weird saying that because, like, you know, that's obviously the more popular opinion anyway. But, you know, if you look at Haunted Mansion, and, yeah, it was not the greatest, but it was an Eddie Murphy movie, like, through and through, you know, Disney Eddie Murphy movie. I don't know about the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride because, I think that Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was made like 1980-something when they did it with Eric Idle and all of them.
That's 96, I believe, isn't it?
Was it 96?
I think it was 1996, yeah.
Then maybe it is based on the – I think If it's 96, then it's based on the ride, because I remember in Mallrats.
Yeah,
because
the ride's been around forever.
Mr. Toad's. Yeah, they said Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
It's a Terry Jones movie, isn't it?
Yes.
I believe Terry Jones directed it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and like Eric Idle and Terry Jones, and I think a few of the Monty Python people were a part of it.
Right.
Well, so, it's a Terry Jones
really cool
movie. They tend to have.
Yeah. You kind of expect that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, if it were Terry Gilliam, you wouldn't know what to expect. let's talk about what's your favorite Disney movie? This should be a question that everybody can definitely answer for sure. So, Dave, what about you?
As far as animated, I usually go with Aladdin, probably. I mean, I definitely really enjoy that film. That's kind of that's like my time period of Disney movies. Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Lion King, like that whole Beauty and the Beast, that whole time period. Probably Aladdin. As far as live action, there's so many good ones. It's hard to say. But the ones that I can watch over and over again, I mean, going back to Pirates, I mean, I rewatch those movies like once a year. So maybe the Pirates franchise.
What about you, Alfred?
For animated, I have to say Beauty and the Beast and Sleeping Beauty. And live action, there's about three or four that I could go with, and those are Bedknobs and Broomsticks, The Cat from Outer Space, and Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
All right.
And, of course, the shorts. And my favorite Wonderful World of Disney one was Wernher von Braun's Space. It was a black and white one about space travel to the moon and rocketry and Mathemagic Land with Donald Duck. I remember that from school.
All right. Well, what about you, Donnie?
Well, if we're dividing it up into animated and live action, if I had one to pick, it's pretty easy. But if I had to divide it up to animated and live action, it's a tough one because I think the one that I really because Disney's interesting because we were talking about like the different ages, and I appreciate Disney in the different, because I grew up with like I would say probably like the Silver Age of Disney, because you have your Golden Age, which is basically like in the 50s and 60s and everything, but I grew up in like the 70s and 80s with Disney, so I was like in the Silver or Bronze Age at that point. But the stuff that I liked as a kid,
you're in the
Don
Bluth age.
Yeah, right. yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Yes,
too.
Good way to put it. I like that.
I loved Don Bluth animation, and you know
that was the dark day.
Yeah. And then the 90s came, and then it was kind of a reboot for Disney, because then they started doing their more high-end animation with more CG involved, and they started bringing more famous people in to do voices than what they did in the 80s. And the stuff the stuff that I liked as a kid is definitely not the stuff that I like now. My sensibilities have changed along with Disney, I guess. So I guess now I'd probably say Aladdin. I think Aladdin was the first one that I really, really gravitated towards. When it came out, I love the music. I love Robin Williams, everything about that. For live action, you have it in your talking points, but I'm going to bring it up anyway ahead of time. Something Wicked This Way Comes is probably my favorite live action Disney flick.
Damn movie.
That it's so dark and it's so good. And I'm so pissed at Disney because they haven't released a proper Blu-ray of it. Somebody told me the other day that if you know where to look, you can sometimes find an old out of print DVD release in Walmart. I need to find one stat because I really need to have Something Wicked This Way Comes in my library because I love that movie so much. It's so haunting and so dark for a Disney flick. And it's very Twilight Zone-ish. I love everything about it. Jason Robards is amazing. I think the kids are great. I saw him in that movie before I ever saw him anything else, and anytime I'd see him, I would automatically assume he was the villain. It took me a while before that, before I shook that. But yeah, Something Wicked This Way Comes is probably my favorite Disney. Second favorite is probably Tron, because because I love Tron to death, even though it didn't do very well.
I can't believe
I
missed that.
Tron is such a great, and I even love the new one. The second Tron movie I thought was amazing. I know it didn't do very well either, but I'm a fan of both. I love the themes behind them. Those are my two choices.
You excited for the light cycle ride to come in to Disney World?
What's that?
They're bringing the Tron light cycle coaster to Disney World.
Oh my God, I have to go.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Disney since the early 80s. It's been that long.
It is completely different. You won't even recognize it now.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm well aware. The last time I went to Disney, they had just opened Epcot for the first time. That was in like 83.
Yeah,
82.
1982.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think I went in spring of 83 after it just opened. There wasn't hardly anything to do there. There was a few rides here and there, but I mean, I know if I go back now, it's going to be a completely different experience, but I've just never had a chance to go back. It's been so long. I went right after Epcot first opened. And so it was really interesting too. I unfortunately never got to see Captain EO, and I'm still mad about it to this day.
I'd say that and Song of the South are like the two things Disney should really release to DVD or to Blu-ray.
Song of the South will probably never happen.
And Captain EO probably never happened too, because my assumption is Disney, I don't know if Disney owns actually owns that movie, or at least owns all of it.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. Because the Michael Jackson estate might own it.
Maybe.
But I don't know. It's a good question. That's something to.
All right. Well, now I do want to mention something to you, Donnie. They do,
yes,
when I was looking around for stuff on the Disney Movie Club, now that I'm a member, they do have something Wicked This Way Comes with
sweet.
On DVD there. So if you want at some
sweet.
Point, just once I become a VIP member and can get things at a pretty good discount, just give me some money and I will I'll help you out.
I'll just tell you how much it costs and stuff.
Yeah.
I adore that movie to death. That movie is just amazing. Definitely. Disney needs to go back to doing darker fare.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but I want to give you guys my answer, I guess. For animation, my answer would probably be Robin Hood.
That's a good one.
It's funny because for a long time, it was Aladdin. So I will agree with everybody because that was about my time. I think most of us are, you know, close in range and age and everything. I'm 35, so, or 36 now. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. Just turned 36, so
getting old
with me. I'm on 35. And that's the thing, like, you know, in that time frame, it was like 93 or something that Aladdin came out that time.
Yeah, around 93, yeah.
And so, like, yeah, that was about the time that I would still be watching Disney movies and loving them. And, you know, that was, like, one of my favorite, that and The Lion King. But Robin Hood recently became my my new favorite because it's just around one of the, like, most just nicest movies, sweetest movies I've ever seen. Like, it's just, like, everything about it, even the action and everything, just things are just, you know, very, very, like, nice. You know, and everything. So I just really enjoyed rewatching that recently. And for live action, that's going to be a tough one. So I just rewatched Blackbeard's Ghost, which I haven't watched in forever. And that honestly was the funniest thing that I've ever seen in my life. I've never laughed so hard rewatching that movie. I was mad at first because the Blu-ray that I got of it didn't look that great, you know.
Sure.
But then I watched Darby O'Gill on DVD, and it looked worse. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe I should stick with the Blu-rays if they have them, because they do clean them up a little bit better. You know, the Darby O'Gill, honestly, Dave, you have that, right? You got that recently, or not sort of recently, in your collection. Is that true?
No, I've had Darby O'Gill for a while on DVD.
Okay.
I think just recently I picked up a different artwork variation of it.
Okay. did you watch, I guess, did you, have you seen like the, I guess the Disney Movie Club version? I don't know if that's the same one that they've released from whatever, but
I'm not sure.
The one. Okay. Well, anyway, it was not good looking, like, at all. Like, I mean, I enjoyed watching it. It was just like watching it on my old TV and stuff, but was not as clean as it should have been. So I'm hoping they release a Blu-ray of it at some point and clean it up.
The problem with movies like that is they're not in high demand, and so they probably don't put as much effort into cleaning them up. And the transfers are probably not going to be great on some of those films because they're not in high demand. So they're really looking at the popular ones that they want to put all the work into. So that's probably why it doesn't look as good as it should.
Well, definitely. And now we can talk about the darker movies and stuff.
Yes.
Which, yeah.
Darkness.
So there was, it was crazy. Disney went through a time period where they did make kind of darker movies. I'm counting Mr. Boogity, but I rewatched Mr. Boogity, and honestly, it was very light compared to what I remember as a kid. Like, I was like, my brother watched it with me. It was like, why were you scared of this as a kid? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's honestly not that scary now. And I don't know, maybe it was the 80s when I watched it or something, but it was just, it's not that scary. It's kind of goofy. Maybe I need to watch Bride of Boogity. Maybe that's the scarier one. I don't remember exactly, but thankfully they have both of them on the DVD because Mr. Boogity was only like 50 minutes long. So I think that was part of Wonderful World of Disney. And they were just, you know, not thinking that it would be a hit enough to actually make a version of it until later. And then they did, you know, Something Wicked This Way Comes. They did Watcher in the Woods. And they did all these movies.
The Black Hole.
I think even.
Yeah, just say Black Cauldron.
The Black Cauldron. Yep. All these great movies, which one of the Twitter fans out there actually said Black Cauldron was their favorite. So that's awesome. You know, and I might read that at the end of what she exactly said. So, all right. So what was your favorite darker movie of all the Disney movies that they made? And I guess, I don't know if you could count Escape to Witch Mountain. I guess you could count that in there as one of them. But what do you think, Dave?
Oh, boy. I guess, I mean, Something Wicked This Way Comes is, like you said, it's really good. I actually just watched that the first time, maybe, like, 3 years ago. I finally got myself a DVD copy of it, and I did think it was pretty amazing. So maybe I'd go with that. I mean, Black Cauldron, it's fun, but it's not one of my favorites or anything like that. But still, I might go with Something Wicked This Way Comes.
All right. What about you, Alfred?
It's like a court case. I would go with Watcher in the Woods because that one creeped me out when I first saw it. But now that the evidence showing the black hole, I'd have to say the black hole I've seen the most and enjoyed. And it just gave me a lot of stuff those were movies that gave me a lot of stuff to think about. And then Something Wicked This Way Comes, I totally forgot it was a Disney movie, but, I just remember Watcher in the Woods really creeped me out. I need to rewatch that.
All right. Well, what about you, Donnie?
Well, I kind of already gave my answer for that one. It's clearly Something Wicked This Way Comes. Although the black hole is a close second. That is and that's the funny thing about, like, Disney really tried to do some creative shit in the early 80s, early to mid 80s. Like, because I'm even looking this stuff up now. Like, you know, they're what is technically considered the Disney Dark Age is when they were kind of going outside the box and doing stuff like the Aristocats, Robin Hood, you know, Fox and the Hound, Black Cauldron, Great Mouse Detective, which actually is a really good Disney film. Great Mouse Detective is amazing. But they were really trying to branch out and trying to kind of do different things. Like, they were trying to be more creative. And I think that at the time they had brought in a bunch of really good creative people that ended up firing before they did the whole reboot over to the Aladdin and Little Mermaid
almost,
age.
They almost ended up killing their entire animation department.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's
yep.
exactly right. But it was amazing.
They were actually going to shut it down.
Yeah, that's right. They were. I remember that. Yep. Yeah, and because they had more ideas, but then they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna switch over to more digital stuff." And they're like, "Oh, bye, everybody."
Yep.
But they were like, even like from the early to mid '80s, they were really trying some new stuff. Like, I know they were trying to do more live action fare. Like they created, I think it was Touchstone. They created to kind of do that because they started doing live action, like more serious and more adult films through their Disney imprint. But then we're like, let's not do that. Let's do Touchstone. But it was amazing because, I mean, you got Tron, you've got Black Hole. I think those are really great, imaginative, creative movies, and it's unfortunate that they didn't get the audiences that I feel they deserved. But Black Hole, and that's Something Wicked This Way Comes, is definitely up there too. Those are definitely, like Black Hole, there's a lot of great stuff in the Black Hole. Like, it's very Kubrick in a lot of the way it does things. You know, just a lot of great stuff in there, but unfortunately just didn't catch people's eye. But I would say, you know, that Black Hole is definitely my second favorite after Something Wicked.
All right. I think, it's kind of hard to say right now because I know Mr. Boogity was, like, my favorite movie growing, like, you know, live-action Disney movie growing up, like, at that. You know, that I remembered watching and stuff back then. So I would probably still go with, like, I love Watcher in the Woods because that has some really great cinematography in it.
It does.
Like, it was just well directed and well made, and kind of like, it doesn't feel like a Disney movie. You know, like a few of them don't. Like Something Wicked This Way Comes, you would never think of that as a Disney movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Black Cauldron, you probably would. You know, you would just be like, oh, man, Disney went dark. You know? But I love that one. You know, I never mentioned this earlier before, but and this isn't dark, but this is kind of one that they have not released yet, and I think they, like, just don't like or something. I remember seeing it a long time ago on, like, the Disney Channel or whatever it was. You guys remember Not Quite Human?
Yes. Yeah, they did a couple of them. There was Not Quite Human, Not Quite Human 2. Yeah, it had Alan
Still
Smith
Not,
in the
still
movie.
Not
yeah.
Quite Human. Something.
Yeah, Still Not Quite Human. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I remember those. They showed them on the Disney Channel a lot when I was growing up, and it had
Alan,
I can't remember the kid's
Jay
name.
Jay Underwood.
Yeah, Alan Thicke was the dad.
Jay Underwood.
Jay Underwood,
yep,
that's the one. Jay Underwood, who most people might know as Bug from Uncle Buck. He was also the Human Torch in the failed Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Jay Underwood, man? I liked Jay Underwood. He had a promising career, and then he just kind of didn't.
Well, maybe he'll come back. I mean, Macaulay Culkin started a podcast called Bunny Ears, so, you know, who knows? Jay Underwood may start a podcast and start doing something to get out there. You know, or maybe he's just working at, like, Chili's. Who knows?
How tragic is that?
Who knows? Yeah, well, I mean, you never know with people. But, yeah, if Jay Underwood wants to come on the show, we could do a Not Quite Human show. That would be awesome. So we're not knocking him.
Man.
We're just saying. You never know.
That'd be funny.
That's one that just never got released. And I'm so devastated. Like, I think they will eventually do it on the Disney Movie Club exclusives stuff that they do. Because they released, like, Cool Runnings. They released, like, The Mighty Ducks on Blu-ray.
Wasn't Not Quite Human? I mean, that was part of, like, a Disney Channel movie, right?
Right.
And I don't
think
a lot of that stuff hasn't been released to DVD or even Blu-ray.
I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
That's where
I
thought it was on the Disney Channel.
I would say good luck getting a release of that. It might have been released to VHS.
Yeah.
Even on But even on DVD, like they would never release that on DVD.
I don't know. Cause that was what, 1980 something.
Yeah, like 86, 87, somewhere in there.
Yeah, something like that. I know a lot of like the later ones, like the stuff from like the late '90s and in the 2000s got DVD releases.
Right.
Even some of the newer ones get DVD releases, but a lot of the older stuff, a lot of the older Disney Channel stuff, I mean, you can pretty much get on VHS, and that's about it. And I doubt we'll ever see on DVD, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's sad because you know it was one of my favorites growing up. So
I mean, they just made a ton of those movies, though, and I mean,
they did.
I mean, the market. I don't think the market's really all that strong, unfortunately.
Well, I know that they are, you know, in 2019 releasing the Disney, you know, streaming service. So who knows?
Yeah,
maybe
well,
some of those
that
stuff
that
may go on
yeah,
there.
Definitely.
Yeah,
that would take
which,
no effort from them.
Which would suck because then they, you know, we'll put it on there, and I'd have to if I see Not Quite Human on there, I have to get it. And I've already got like a million streaming services that I pay for already. I don't know why Netflix just doesn't buy or not Netflix, Disney just doesn't buy Netflix. They've already bought
so you would not...
out, and that's, you know, what's going on with that. That's what we're going to talk about next is the last thing we'll discuss is the.
Oh, I want to say one thing quickly. If we're talking about darker movies, I just want to also give a shout out to Hocus Pocus. I mean, I know that's a little bit later
oh,
on,
yeah.
But.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
How did we miss that one?
I know we were talking about more like 80s dark movies, but, you know, as far as the darkest one I enjoy the most would definitely be Hocus Pocus.
Oh, no, that's mm-hmm. a good one.
Yeah.
And Mick Garris wrote that movie.
Yep.
And it's amazing that, you know, like it's so weird that the guy who wrote for a lot of Stephen King stuff wrote freaking one of my favorite witch movies.
It's if you watch it now like as an adult, there's a lot of like stuff in there that I'm surprised got past Disney.
Huh. Yeah.
I got bad news for you, Jonathan.
What?
Amazon is showing that the Not Quite Human movies are only on VHS.
There you go.
Aw. Well, and they're probably $100. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say the first one's showing for like maybe like $14. The second one's showing for like $37 and or no, the second one is like $20 and the third one is like $37. So not that expensive, but yeah, they're definitely pricey.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll wait until I find them at like a thrift store or something if I run into them. But actually more thrift stores I've noticed are going are getting rid of their VHSs. At least in my town.
Yeah, sure,
so
same here.
It's a sad thing.
They're not quite
but
wanted.
Anyway, yeah, they're not quite wanted. unfortunately, that's a sad thing. Like that is not that is bad. I collect VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray, so I've not gone Laserdisc or all those other things like Dave, you do like a million of them. So
like 45 formats at this point, I think.
Wow!
Oh my goodness! And how many formats are there?
Oh, gee, I have most of them. I mean, there's maybe a handful more like really obscure ones, but even some of the more obscure ones like CBHD, which is China Blue High Definition. Or HD VMD, you know, stuff like that. That was actually meant to compete with Blu-ray and HD DVD that never actually got released to the U.S. Those are really hard to find. I got some of those. So yeah, there's a lot out there.
Yeah. So when he says he has a problem with cinema, you know, the sickness of cinema, like there you go. He has to buy all that stuff. That's awesome.
I love having all that stuff.
Yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up because. What were you going to say, Alfred?
I was just going to ask Dave. I wasn't familiar with his website. Is it mostly Disney stuff, or is it all movies in general, Dave?
No, it's movies in general. Basically, what my show really is, or my channel is really based on, is my collecting of cinema. So it's all
okay.
Just all movies in general. So I review some stuff, but also I go out and do hunting videos on you know, going out to thrift stores and stuff and looking for movies.
That's cool.
Nice.
We'll have to check that
out.
Check that out.
You do, like, unboxings. You do different stuff that people, like, you know, a lot of the other people, a lot of my friends also do these things, too. So just glad I stumbled on your, you know, on your page and everything as well. And I've been – he does it, like, daily, like this every day. Like, he's going to put a new one out tomorrow.
Every single day. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And, I don't know how you have the time, but you do it. And that's awesome.
I just don't sleep ever.
And you can also go to the Cinema Sickness store on Instagram, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So on top of all that, I run the store too.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap it up. Dave, how can people reach you?
They could just go to cinemasickness.com. They can find everything there. There's links to all of my social media, YouTube, the store. Everything is really there.
All right, cool. What about you, Alfred? How can people reach you?
I can be reached on Facebook if you send me a friend request at Alfred Crane, or I run two Facebook pages based on a newspaper article I used to write in college called The Video Alternative, where we just get together and talk about movies. So if you put in a request at The Video Alternative on Facebook or The Video Alternative Part 2, Video Alternative is all about movies. Video Alternative Part 2 is everything else, anime, books, music. But as often with most sites, people cross the stream. So, I can reach at the Video Alternative at Facebook.
Aren't you not allowed to cross the streams?
You're not supposed to. Unless it's important to the plot.
Right. Well, unless you're supposed to save the world, right? Then you cross the stream.
Right.
If it's crucial to the plot, then you can.
Yeah.
Okay. Donnie, how can people reach you?
Telepathically is probably the best way. Just send your thoughts to me, and I'll pick them up, and I'll be like, yo, what's up? I'm very elusive. Facebook, obviously. I have a Twitter account, but I don't really use it all that much. If I get messaged on there, it'll show up so I can answer it. Facebook is the main one. I do have a webcomic. I'm probably going to be ending it soon, depending on a few things. But I do have a webcomic called The Adventures of Baby Skeletor that I have on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where I take pictures of a little baby Skeletor that I bought from Mattel, and I put captions on it and make it into a comic. And then on Thursdays I do what I call Throw Up Thursdays for the comic, where I actually take action figures. I set up fun little dioramas and make them do funny things and stuff. So,
nice.
You can reach me that. Yeah. So,
okay.
You can reach me. You can kind of reach me through those as well. Like I said, Adventures of Baby Skeletors on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. So that's probably, those are the avenues right now. And the telepathic thing is, you can try. I mean, it might work. I don't know. If you're really good telepath.
I think Bill Murray.
If the force is with you.
When he did his psychic show.
Yes. The world of the psychic.
Yes.
All right. I guess you can reach me at Jonathan Moody on Twitter or Jonathan Moody on Facebook, Jonathan A. Moody on Facebook or Instagram's Jonathan A. Moody Filmmaker. And I even have a Snapchat where I just snap things like my dog and my cat and stuff like that. So thank you guys all for coming on the show. Check out Indie Film Cafe on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all the same thing, just Indie Film Cafe. And thank you so much, Dave, for coming on.
Yes,
I know.
Yes.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was great.
All right. All right, well, talk to you guys later. Everybody have a great night. Bye.
Have a good night, everybody.
See you next week where we do Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Yep. Stay tuned for next week's show. Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.